Hi, and welcome to the Homeopathy Health Show here on the UK Health Radio Network. I'm Atik.
And I'm Nyla.
We're both professional registered homeopaths, and between us have over 25 years of professional practice in this field of healing.
The Homeopathy Health Show is the voice of homeopathy on radio and podcasts around the world, promoting and raising awareness of this truly unique system of healing and healthcare, which is suitable for all ages, young and old.
Every week, we invite guests from the world of homeopathy to come and share their experiences, their work, offer insights, and essentially talk all things homeopathy.
Visit www.ukhealthradio.com to listen now. To find out more about us, you can visit us at www.homeopathyinpractice.co.uk. And whilst you are there, do subscribe to our newsletter.
Be inspired.
And join the conversation.
So let's begin today's show here on the UK Health Radio Network, the world's number one talk health radio.
Real feel-good radio.
Hi, and welcome to another episode of the Homeopathy Health Show here on the UK Health Radio Network. And I am your co-host, Atik.
And I'm Nyla. Welcome, everyone.
It's going to be an absolutely fantastic episode, I promise you. Actually, it's a double episode. It's back to back. So, ladies and gentlemen, what do you think about that? And guess who we have? My God, what an absolute honor. And I do mean that. And that's why you can tell from my voice and the harmonics of my voice how excited I really am. We have none other than our good friend, Jeremy Scher. Now, for those who may be unaware, and I'd be very surprised if you actually are, Jeremy has taught in most of the British schools of homeopathy, and he is the founder of the Dynamis School for Advanced Homeopathic Studies. Now, for over a decade, Jeremy and his respected wife, Camilla Scher, have been in Tanzania working under Homeopathy for Health in Africa, treating AIDS patients for no charge and researching remedies for AIDS. They have established over 20 clinics, a homeopathic center, and just have treated thousands and thousands of people. And you'll remember a couple of years back, actually, and I must thank you all for that. We were able to train a homeopath for homeopathy and health in Africa. So that was through the Homeopathy Health Show. And, you know, long may that continue. But from myself and Nyla, Jeremy, it's just, there's so much to talk about. It's so exciting. But before we go into that, thank you so much for joining us again. It's honestly, it's an absolute honor. And once you've said something, I do have something very important to say.
Excellent. Well, thank you. And it's my pleasure and honor to be here and to meet Nalia, obviously an excellent addition to your podcast. And I hear you doing very well and having record numbers. So very happy to be here.
Thank you, Jeremy. And so now the important part, which is that one of the objectives of what we do, myself and Nyla, under Homeopathy in Practice as an educational platform, but also through this Homeopathy Health Show, is to honor the homeopaths. And we honor you, we appreciate you, and you know, we show you the greatest respect, because what you do is not easy, but God has blessed you with that ability to be able to articulate and to be able to so eloquently take us on this journey. And I'm talking about this 4R series, and we're going to talk about that, of course, in a bit more detail. But everything that you've done, everything that you've done for this service to humanity through homeopathy is just phenomenal. And honestly, from our hearts, thank you so much. You know, and I don't mean it just from Matik and Nyla or the Homeopathy Health Show. If I may be so bold, but from all the homeopaths around the world, you know, because without teachers like you, without advanced homeopaths like you, we wouldn't progress. And homeopathy is progressive, right? That's the beauty of homeopathy itself. So thank you, Jeremy.
It's my great pleasure and honor, really. I'm privileged to be where I am and to contribute, and I love doing it.
And it's thank just you. Brilliant.
Yeah. I would also like to thank you. And because we as homeopaths, when we start studying, we see Jeremy, and everyone knows Jeremy because he has spent his life for homeopathy. I want to go back and ask you, 30 years ago, or when you trained, did you ever think about where you will be after 40 years?
It's a good question. It was 45 years, actually. I started in 1980, before you two were born.
Thanks for that. Thanks
And I remember in my first year making a kind of decision, when I just started out, that I just love to bring homeopathy to the world and do what I can to improve and to make homeopathy, as good as it can be, and to put that out there. I kind of made a decision like that very early on. And once I made that decision, I was since then till today like a, homing device. I just go on that message all the time. I've never wavered from that. It's just one of those decisions that you make, and that's it. There's no questioning. You carry on and you do everything you can. And I'm doing all that I can till today to improve and make homeopathy a better quality. And I'm not one of those people that spread it out like you, I think. I mean, I teach thousands of people, but my aim is to put a beacon out there and improve the quality of homeopathy so that people who want to can follow that. And
This.
I'm happy with what I've achieved in that. I'll tell you a realization I had that relates to that question not long ago. And I told my wife, Camilla, when I was practicing for maybe 20 years or 25 years, I used to beat myself up that I hadn't written enough books. I would see everybody's writing books, 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 and I didn't. I had one book, The Methodology of Provings, which and a few proving books, but I had in my head many books I wanted to write, and I wasn't doing it. I wasn't achieving it, and it upset me. And I was complaining to Camilla about myself all the time. And now I've reached the age where I'm putting more effort into books and writing than into clinic. I do both, but I've shifted the emphasis to writing books because I feel that's a better thing, a more important thing that I can do now. And I said to Kamala, a few weeks ago, I said, "Thank God that I didn't write those books then, and I'm writing them now, because I wouldn't be able to, I wouldn't have the maturity and the knowledge and the understanding that I have now if I wrote them 20 years ago." I mean, I'm sitting on the organ and every day for 3 years now. Today, sadly, I was up at 3 o'clock in the morning with, nothing to do. So, thank God for the insomnia that gets stuff done. So I sat here, and I worked on one paragraph, paragraph 194, 195 for about 4 hours. And then I went back to sleep. But I wouldn't have had the understanding that I have now. If I did the same thing then, it would not have been the same, not in terms of homeopathic understanding and not in terms of quality of writing. Because when you begin writing, it's a learning process. In the beginning, you're just full of adjectives and flowery and, blah, blah, blah. And you learn to concentrate on what's important. So actually, things worked out right. Now is the time to be writing, not, when you're starting off with 20 years practice or something like that. If you want to write really meaningful books. I'm happy the way it worked out. And Camilla's just published the first book. You spoke about it this morning. But there was one thing that I learned along the way after those 25 years of lamenting that I hadn't written any books. And this is it. I always imagined that I would write at the end of the day. So I always thought, okay, you finish that, all the patients doing the accounts, kids, whatever, and then you will write, which is why I never wrote. Because you're too tired at the end of the day, you don't have the energy for it. Then I went out, I had a good friend, which I'm sure you've heard of, Dr. Edward Whitmond. He was a well-known homeopath. He wrote one very good homeopathic book called Psych and Substance. He was a well-known Jungian psychiatrist. And when I went to New York, we would go out to sushi together. We liked sushi, we liked each other. So I said to him, Edward, I've got one question to you. He was a wise old man, certainly compared to me. And I said to him, what is the answer to the question of time, meaning time management, maybe time in general? He thought for a moment and then he said, there was no answer, there is no answer, and there will be no answer.
No answer.
So I said, okay. But
Yeah.
then he thought for another couple of moments and he said, there is one thing though. Prioritize. So I took that on board and I said, okay, what does prioritize mean? Prioritize means it's what all the shamans say and what all the wise people say. You live every day as if you are going to die today. You have to live with death on your shoulder. And I've done that for many years. That's why I was freaked out that I didn't write. Meaning that you have today, you have to do what you would have done in the last day of your life. And then you will be here and now. Because there's nothing like the concept of death to make you here and now. Otherwise, we live in the delusion that we've got forever. So we can write in the night, or we can write in 30 years' time, or we can take those dancing lessons in 40 years' time. No. The most important thing your soul wants to do, you have to do that right here and now. So, I have a definition of health, Schur's law of cure, as opposed to Hering's law of cure. I don't actually subscribe to Hering's law of cure. It's not a law. It's a rough guideline at best. And I can talk about that for
Yes,
a long
please.
time.
Please, would
But
love to hear this from you.
oh, you want to hear about Hering's Law of
Yes,
Cure?
yes, yes.
Okay,
It caught my attention
I'll
because
keep
I've
you
been
around.
thinking about it.
And then I'll come back to what I started off. Well, I'll do that
We'll talk
first.
about
Look,
it later. Please continue with what
the
you're saying.
outcome of that prioritize is that you want to write. Do that before you brush your teeth. Wake up in the morning. You don't think of that coffee. Don't think of brushing your teeth. Don't think of that first patient. Don't think of whatever it is you want to do. The most important thing for your soul, which for me is writing, homeopathy, you do that first. So I get up. It doesn't matter. I'm up at 4 o'clock, 7 o'clock, 11 o'clock. That's the first thing I'll do. I'll write. And then I saw Camilla struggling with her book for 2 years. And I said to her, you get your computer open on the page in the night, the day before, you go to bed, you get up, no coffee, no teeth brushing, no nothing, you write now. So she finished the book in a year and a half, which is remarkable.
Brilliant.
Now, Hering's Law, it's like this. It goes, what did they say, from more vital to less light vital, inside out, upside down, and in reverse order of appearance. Cool. Now, in your whole practice, how many patients have you seen where the cure has gone from inside out or from more vital organs to less vital organs? Have you seen a patient like that?
No. I
Have
have
Yeah,
seen from
you
upside
have
down
seen.
and in reverse order.
A patient that's with an asthma that's gone to an eczema. You've seen a patient from a kidney that's gone to a bladder. You've seen them. Good. How many percent of your patients that got better, not the ones that you missed out on, The patients that got better, how many percent went from inside out? Yeah, 5, 10, 20, 30, I'll be being generous.
Yeah, I
Okay.
can think of a couple, I would say.
Couple, and you've seen 2,000 patients, let's
I've
say.
not seen 2000. I'm not a practitioner for so long, 2 years
So,
practice.
okay, so you've seen 150 patients.
Yes.
Two out of 150 patients, it's not even 1%.
Yeah.
Right? Meaning it's already not a law, because the law is something that happens every time.
Every time.
No arguing with the law. Now, what about in reverse order of appearance? How many times have you seen that?
That I have seen actually quite often.
Yeah, maybe.
Where I have got the right remedy, like when I see, okay, this is
Yeah.
the remedy, then it goes in that direction.
Right. So, about how many percent of the good results that you had have had that reverse order of appearance?
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
If optimizing your health and well-being is on your to-do list, then let Revive Active, Ireland's number one super supplement brand, help you achieve that in the most convenient and comprehensive way possible. Clean, premium ingredients scientifically formulated to work in synergy to support immunity, energy, joints, heart health, sleep, emotional balance, and more. Benefit from the power, purity, and positivity of our award-winning powder sachets or our therapeutic capsule range. Use code RADIO15 at reviveactive.com and save 15% off today. Super supplements for a super you.
When you vacation with Norwegian Cruise Line, every day is a new day. Get a taste for Barcelona, then savor incredible dining options back on board one day. Connect to ancient history in Athens, and then disconnect completely in our spa another day. Wherever the sea breeze takes you, come aboard and experience a different tomorrow with NCL. Visit ncl.com, call your travel agent, or call 0333-336-1472. Norwegian Cruise Line, Ships Registry, the Bahamas and USA.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
I would say most of them, because that is my sign. Apart from the energy and sleep, that is one of the third sign.
Most of them you've seen going back like last year, the year before, 10 years ago, 30 years ago.
Like something that they had in childhood or something that they had 10 years ago that comes up and then.
That comes back. So it's most of them. I think yourself.
It's limited. It's
Limited.
limited in the sense that when it happens, it's like interesting, but
Wow.
it's not that it stays with you because the other cases take over.
Exactly that. You said it nicely. It happens. When it happens, it's great. It's lovely to see. But it certainly doesn't happen every time. Not even
Not
10%, I
every
would
time.
venture to say. So it means it's not a law. Again, how many patients have you seen out of your good patients where the cure has gone from down up, from up down, sorry?
That I still have to see.
Very, very few.
One or two or three or ten.
Enough to say
Meaning,
that I don't remember.
yeah, in eczema
For instance,
cases, I do see that it goes from top parts of the body to the lower parts of the body, apart from that.
but it's not frequent, so
Yeah.
that means it's not a law. And anyway, what would have happened if your patient had a descending paralysis that started in the chest and went down to the toes slowly over 2 years? And now they got better, so that it went upwards.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah. Now, how many patients have you seen in your practice where all four of Herring's law things happened in the same patient?
No.
None. Me,
Nothing.
none too. And I've seen a good few hundred thousands of patients. So it means you cannot call Hering's law a law, logically speaking. A law is the sun rises in the morning. That's a law. It happens every time. Now, to his credit, Hering never woke up one morning and said, "Hey, this is my law." So we shouldn't bash Hering about it. That his students compiled something out of him and Hahnemann together, and they said, "Whoa ho, let's make a law and let's call it Hering." So now it's not accurate. Now, why is it not accurate? Because it's talking about the direction that the symptoms move. But the direction that the symptoms move can be in 100,000, 100 million different ways. There's not one pathway for symptoms to move. And why is that? Because symptoms are just a result. Now let me look at it from another point of view. And I'll give you Schur's law of cure, which is, the only reason it's Schur is because I've adapted it to homeopathy, but it's something we all know. But let me put it to you like this. A patient comes to you and they've been dwelling on the fact that somebody offended them 50 years ago. Somebody said, "Hey, you've got a big nose." And that's stuck in their mind now for 50 years. All the time they dream, think about it. That person told me I got a big nose. Now you give them a remedy, and they come back. They say, I'm not thinking about that guy anymore, but somebody upset me last week, and that's in my mind. So now you see, they've moved from 50 years ago to last week. And then hopefully they'll move to 1 hour ago, and hopefully they'll move to now.
They're here and now, yes.
Exactly that. Now another patient comes to you and says, "What I want to do, what I think about all the time, is that when I retire, I'll learn to play guitar. That's in my dream. I'll learn to play guitar when I retire." And another kid comes to you and says, I dream all the time that I'm in Star Wars in the year 2002 to 200. Cool. Now you give them a remedy, and the first person comes back and says, "You know what? I started taking guitar lessons." And the kid says, "I've stopped dreaming of Star Wars. I'm just thinking about tomorrow." So they're moving towards the now. Now another patient comes to you and says, "If only I was back in India. I love being in India so much because I love a good thali. There's nothing like a good thali, and I think about it all the time. I want to go back to India to eat that thali. So really, I'm not happy here in Britain eating fish and chips. It's thali that I want." So they are not here. Now, you give them a remedy. Either they'll start making thali, or they'll stop wanting it, or needing it, or thinking about it all the time. So, as Nalia said, and this is what Schur's law says, the direction of cure is towards the here and now.
Towards yes, so beautifully
Now,
said.
this is a law, and it's right for every case, and it
Every
relates every case that you get
case.
better. And you'll see it in many different ways. But you'll see the patient coming towards the here and now. Now, what that means is that the patient in sickness was in living in the there and then. They were not in the here and now. Every sickness, we can define that the law of sickness is being in the there and then. And our job is to help them come back to there and now. So, if they were living in the there and then, who's sitting on the throne? Who's the throne is empty. The
It
king and queen have gone
is.
to lunch somewhere else. Now, who's going to sit on the throne? Somebody's got to sit there. So, in the open window, will come, a snake, or a bee, or a plant, or a belladonna, or a haliaethus, or whatever will come through the open window and take over the throne.
The throne.
And that's the remedy that they need.
Beautifully said.
When they have that remedy, the throne will empty and they will come back to the here and now. They will sit on the throne. So now, when they're sitting back on the throne of the here and now and ruling their life from the here and now, then the symptoms will run to the periphery. The symptoms, when they are out to lunch, the symptoms will come and be on the throne. When you take the symptoms away from the throne, they will scatter in every direction into all the there and thens. Now, how many there and thens are there? Millions.
Brilliant.
Now, I'll tell you a way, two ways in which you can visit a million there and thens. The first way is through dreams. If you're having healthy dreams, then you dream that you're on the planet Zog, playing chess with the Baron of Mog. Cool. So you've gone to one there and then. Or you dream you're in India eating a thali. Or you dream that you're in Star Wars or whatever. In your dreams, in the healthy person's dreams, you will go to any one of the million here and thens, there and thens. The second way to visit the there and then is through provings. So when you do a proving, and let's say you've done a proving of, I don't know what, of a bitter almond, then you go to visit bitter almond and see what they have to say. You get off your throne and off you go to bitter almond land. The only thing is, everybody else doing that proving will also be going along on a group tour to visit bitter almond land, each with a different camera. And then through all of them together, you understand what is the there and then of bitter almond. And then hopefully you come back to your center. So through provings and through dreams, you can visit the many there and thens. The other way to visit the many there and thens is through pathology, through being sick. But then you're stuck there. You've got a one-way ticket and you're stuck. And it's up to the homeopath to go and give you a ticket home so you can come back. So Schur's law is the direction of cure is towards the here and now. And that'll work for you every time. And everybody knows that concept. I've just adapted it to homeopathy. If you want, I don't know if you want this, I can read you a poem about this.
Oh, please do. Please do. I remember.
Okay. So I'm going to read you a little poem.
This takes me back to the previous episode when you read about Beryl and Carol.
Oh, the Beryl and Carol comb. That's nice. So I will just find it in a moment.
Yeah. If you send us a recording, we'll share it out.
I'll send you a recording. Yes, I will. Okay. I just have to find it.
So,
take me a second.
No, that's absolutely fine. Please do.
But you can ask me something meanwhile about any of that or anything else.
It's quite interesting as you were saying that. I was just thinking of how you've so beautifully brought it home almost, you know, and given it a ground zero. Now, this is where we're going from the present, from the past, from the future, and grounding that individual. And that's the beauty of homeopathy, isn't it? It's, you know, it's really amazing, right? Isn't it, Nyla, that it's just so simple. It really is. And that's one of the beauties of it. It really is. It's like, don't overthink. There's nothing to overthink.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. It is also the perspective of life. I think homeopathy, if you are a homeopath or if you are a patient, it teaches, it actually teaches you how to live and exactly in the here and now. Always worrying, oh, what happened in the past, or always worrying what will happen tomorrow. Let's stay here. Let's connect with ourselves. Let's just be and let the things come to you.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
If you see the letters AIDA, do you immediately think of the opera by Verdi? AIDA is also an advertising acronym for those iconic Mad Men days. A is for attention, I is for interest, D is for desire, A is for action. This process is a timeless truism for making a sale. Fortunately, if your product or service is health-related, we can offer you guaranteed access to a global audience with a high interest in health, healthy lifestyle, and contemporary well-being. UKHealthRadio.com has a regular monthly audience of around 1.5 million health-conscious people. And Health Triangle, its award-winning monthly magazine, has around 20,000 paying subscribers. Find out more about both at UKHealthRadio.com. Let's all put health first.
Hey, are you tired of the irritation you get down there from pads and other bladder weakness products? Tena-sensitive care pads are the first ever bladder weakness pads enriched with a skin comfort formula. The skin-friendly layer in combination with the soft, 100% breathable materials helps protect intimate skin from irritation. And as always, you have triple protection from leaks, odor, and moisture. Gynecologist tested and dermatologically approved by the Skin Health Alliance. Look for Tena-sensitive care pads with a skin comfort formula online and in stores now.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Absolutely. And when we can enter that space, everything will come to you. You know, it's not a one-time thing. Oh, I'll be here and now. It's moving, it's dynamic. So we have to flow with it, and it's a lifetime practice. You know, it's something to learn. So here, do you want to see this poem while I read it, or
yes, please.
Okay, the only reason I'm doing this is because it's what I spoke about now. So I like that, and actually, it's called paragraph. It's about paragraph 31. So can you see my screen?
Yes.
Yes.
It's called Disposition As If. I have a series of poems with the whole philosophy of homeopathy, which are called As If poems, right? On every subject on homeopathy. Disposition As If. The king and queen sat on the throne, then made love through the night. And all the kingdom felt so well, happy, healthy, bright. The queen was in the parlor eating bread and honey when through the window flew a bee feeling pretty lucky. He sat beside the king on the royal throne, and somewhere in the kingdom an old man broke a bone. The king was in the counting house counting out his money when a greedy beaver took the throne acting pretty funny. And somewhere in the kingdom a woman heaved a sigh for a bank account that's empty and a mortgage that's too high. The cook looked all around him and could not help observe, while he took a swig of wine, there was no one left to serve. So off he wandered to the garden under the old pine, kissed the servant's ruby lips, sweet as scarlet wine. And somewhere in the kingdom, a young man bent in pain from the hunger in his stomach and the brandy in his veins. The maid was in the dressing room, but Princess took a break, so she wandered to the kitchen for a piece of chocolate cake. Then waiting for her dresses, the princess sat and moaned, no maid to help her braid her hair, no one to place the comb. And somewhere in the kingdom, a young girl cried alone for an anorexic mother and a father never home. The jester in the courtyard didn't have a name, so he danced off to the fields because he wouldn't play the game. And one man had an ulcer, his liver went to rot. A woman hung herself and a junkie took a shot. The castle stood quite empty. The throne lay sad and bare. No money in the parlor, no honey left to share. No guards are standing at the gates with spears to the fore. No white blood cells immunity and no more CD4. Anyone could enter, cockroach, snake or boar, fungus creeping stealthily through every open pore. The RNA went out to play at cytoplasm bar, but on return he was quite drunk, left membrane doors ajar. Then virus penetrated cells and into nuclei. It teared apart the lysosome, trashed mitochondria. It spliced into the DNA, ripping it apart, implanting its agenda into our very heart. The throne room looked like just like a zoo with animals and birds, reptiles, insects, minerals. It really was absurd. And everywhere the people lay covered with the pox, death carts heavy with the dead from vaccination clots. Pineal in the stomach, drinking cups of tea, pituitary ogling, sexy ovaries. Soul rolling in the gutter, rectum on the throne, lungs and heart divorced, each left to its own. But a stomach can't pump blood, and the liver's not the spleen. Kidneys can't digest, and lungs don't get to pee. Your child is not your mother, and your sister's not your aunt, and forget not the miscarried child who ripped it all apart. Checkmate is the tragic end of this sad old song. The queen is mated by a pawn, the king is dead and gone. Knight is mounting bishop, rook sleeps enemy. The board is left in tatters, pawns now fast asleep. So know yourself, be who you are, your true identity. Maintaining your position bestows immunity.
Well, Jeremy, that is deep. That really is very, very profound. Isn't it, Nyla?
That's so profound. It took me to a tour.
That, I was actually gone for a moment, yeah.
It's a bit of homeopathic philosophy, you know, that's important for us to understand, you know, because as we said before, look, before we started recording, homeopathy is growing. It's wonderful. You had 3 million people on this podcast last year. It's amazing. Never happened before. And, you know, there are lots of different streams in homeopathy. Some people are doing this method, that method, thousands of methods. It's cool because it's bringing people in. But somewhere, we have to also be climbing to the peak of the mountain. Somewhere, we have to be taking homeopathy to the highest place that it can be. And there is more. You know, wherever you are in your homeopathy, wherever I am, I promise you there's more to go, deeper to go, more profound things to understand in every aspect of homeopathy, philosophy, materia medica, cases, clinic. There's more to learn to raise the quality to the highest level that it can be. And that's important. You know, that's what I believe, you know, I try to do that to the best of my ability.
It's absolutely phenomenal. It really is. It actually takes me on to I have a question for you, Jeremy. A lot of new homeopaths who, let's rephrase, a lot of homeopaths who have just gone into practice, not new, because technically now in schools they have a lot of experience, much more than ever before, and it's fantastic. It really is, right? But when somebody asks that question, oh, does homeopathy work, right? And it's like, here we go again. Right. Or how does it work? Right. It just took me to your 4-hour series because at your level and at your maturity and because homeopathy is matured, the answer is not like, well, look, this is the principle. And if arnica is growing on the mountainside and we take that and we succuss, blah, 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 whatever, you know, logarithmic serial dilution, blah, centesimal potency. And this is how it works. But the other way of doing it is actually I've just had this idea. Nyla's going to love this as well. He's like, okay, hang on a minute then. Let's say it's somebody who's well-versed, okay? Do you know what alumina is? talk about aluminium, talk about cooking pots, talk about neurodegenerative diseases and say, now, when you take that substance and you potentize it, this is what it's going to repair. What have you just done, Jeremy? You've actually, which you're already doing, right? That's why I'm so happy. You've actually empowered somebody with that real tangible knowledge. Well, hang on a minute. Let's take the other side. Then let's make it into a remedy. And then I'm going to present you that remedy and say, do you know what? This is a photo of what this is. Anyway.
Absolutely, yes. Yeah. So I'm pleased that it's coming together like that. And, you know, look, when I look at the terrain of homeopathy, I'm no longer that familiar with the broad terrain because I'm a hermit. You know, I sit at home here all day writing, doing a few cases, thinking. I go to swim every day, I come back, and I carry on. And so I don't look around. I don't go on, you know, I don't read homeopathy books, not out of laziness. It just, I can't get into them. You know, my wife goes on all these chat forums. I don't go. So I don't know much of what's happening. But I see, if I broadly look at the spectrum, look at the extremes of where it's going. On one hand, we have all this protocol, superficial homeopathy way of, you know, okay, let's give combinations for that and that and that, and for this pathology, that pathology, for that pathology. Now, I'm not knocking anybody here. I think everybody has a role and a place, as long as in the right place and role, you know, as long as they are confined, you know, everybody has their role. On the other hand, you see the supposedly ultra-classical homeopathy, which is all concentrated on finding the mythical simillium.
Yeah.
And that is what a lot of the big famous teachers are propagating, you know. So you go to a seminar, you read a book, you go to school, you do a post-grad course, whatever it is, the thrust is about how to find the remedy.
Yes, this was also like question forever and ever. What is this?
Yeah, what is this thing?
What is it? What is the minimum constitutional remedy?
And I think this is, again, both of these are missing the point of where homeopathy can go, and they are not the full potential. So let me tell you how I see individually how that works. I'm not going to deal with all the protocols and stuff. What I hope is that those things are stepping stones for people to meet homeopathy and then to say, well, this is good, but I want more. I'm going to learn that and that and that and improve my understanding and knowledge. If it's a stepping stone, it's cool. Because you'll never get to the 10M unless you go through the 3X. You have to have a 3X or 3C to potentize yourself to a 10M or CM. So, you know, I see it like that. But let's talk for a moment about this whole find the remedy, the simillium culture. There's no such thing as a simillium. That's the first thing to say. There never was, there never will be, there never is. There are 8.1 trillion species on the planet. 8.1 trillion species on the planet. We have 5,000 remedies. Out of these, most people know 300 remedies. But this is just a technical issue, because let's say one day AI will know all the remedies and be able to find them all. But it's not, is that what we are looking for? Is that really what we are desiring? So let's say AI, you know, took all the 8 trillion species and took all the symptoms and put it in and said, that is a simillium. Let me give you an example for what I'm saying from Feng Shui. You know Feng Shui? You know what that is? It's the art of decorating your house and arranging your house furniture, the Chinese art of decorating. Now, one thing that is a big no-no in Feng Shui is having what's called the poison arrow, which is like a direct corridor. A corridor going straight through your house with rooms to each side, where you can see from one end to the other. All the energy will drain out of that. Or let's say that the pathway to your house is straight, like an arrow. Or let's say, if you're driving, the difference between driving in America and driving in Europe is that in America, you've got a straight road that goes for hundreds of miles, and it kills you. It kills your spirit, the straight road. Whereas in Europe, you've got all these nice, windy, bendy roads.
Yeah, beautiful they are.
It's do we want that simile, to take us from, point A to B, to be correct? Let me tell you, if you gave somebody a theoretical simile, they wouldn't even know anything happened and they wouldn't come back. Because, the path has to be a pathway where you learn and grow. Now, Hanuman says there is no simile. He says that very precisely, paragraph 156. He says it is near impossible to find a remedy with the same angle and like two triangles with the same angle and the same length. You can't find that simile. He says it's nearly impossible, and neither does he say it's a problem. The whole term simile only came like 50, 60 years after Hahnemann. Now, what is the simile? To my mind, I have another Schur's law. I have many Schur's law. My Schur's law says the simile is a harmonious sequence of similes. It's a pathway that we go through, navigating according to the laws of the next prescription from remedy to remedy to remedy. Nobody's a straight line like that. We've all had things happening. If we had a head injury 5 years ago, or our grandfather had syphilis or whatever, we are complex beings, and depending where we start with the remedy, that is the path we will take. So, you want to climb the mountain, you can start at any point along the mountain and go up. And you'll reach the peak eventually. But you have to be going up the journey, up the pathway that is convoluted. And, you might find a really great remedy, and that goes on for 5 years of the patient getting better on this remedy. I don't want to see them on this remedy for the next 30 years. I want that remedy to change eventually. Because every remedy is like going to school, class one, class two, class three. So, would you want your kid to
To
go to
be.
class one every year for the rest of their life? No. Once you've had the remedy enough, lesson learned, susceptibility fulfilled. Now, what's the next lesson? How can we progress up that mountain? Now, the real art of homeopathic practice and science is understanding the second prescription, the follow-up prescription. And that implies that it's not one so-called simile constitutional remedy from now till forever. I love it when I give a patient a good remedy and they're doing really well. I love that moment where I see that remedy finishing and the next remedy starting to appear. And I know that we are graduating from class one to class two. That is the most sophisticated part of homeopathy. That is the peak of the practicing art to know how to take that through. Now, what happens?
And that was part one of our two-part special with Jeremy Schur on nature, evolution, and healing. Catch up with part two next week. I do hope you've enjoyed this week's episode of the Homeopathy Health Show. Please do support the show by clicking follow on my socials. Remember, the more exposure the podcast receives, the better for homeopathy around the world. You can find me on Instagram by searching for @like_treatslike, and on both Facebook and TikTok by searching for @like_treatslike. So let's promote the voice of homeopathy on radio and podcast around the world together. Don't forget to visit me online at www.liketreatslike.co.uk and click on the radio and podcast tab. Here you'll be able to see all the guests that have joined me on the show so far. And of course, you can stream on demand the latest episode to your mobile, tablet, or PC. Until next time, stay safe and take care.